This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 439 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and joining me from Melbourne, Victoria via Skype, once again from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
It's strange, is it? I'm okay.
Oh, good. So glad to hear it. Had to think about it, didn't we?
Well, yeah, as I said the other week, you know, when people ask you these questions, don't be flippant. Don't be flippant with your reply, people.
Fair enough.
As long as they're asking with all the genuine intention that they actually care, yes. Like you obviously did then.
Yes.
Yeah, you're flippant. How are you? Yeah. You're fine, thanks. How are you? You're fine. Good. Yeah, good. Yeah, good. And you? Good. How's your week? Yeah, good. And yours? Yeah, good. What are you doing the weekend? Not much. You? Yeah, not much either. Do you want to get together and do not much together? Yeah, okay. Monday morning, what are you doing the weekend? Not much.
You could be accused of becoming a cynical old man, Mr. Lavender.
Moi? No. No.
Hey.
This becoming business.
Exactly. Hey, this weekend I actually get to go and see my team play.
The Weagles are in Sydney, are they?
That doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't happen very often, only once in a couple of years, I'd imagine, isn't it?
Well, once a year they get to Sydney. It's usually either a game with GWS or a game with the Swans, but yeah. Not both. This year it's the Swans. So
why?
Woo-hoo! And the thing is, the last two times I've been to see the West Coast Eagles play against Sydney in Sydney, we've lost.
Ooh.
And this year we're fifth on the table, and, you know, I think we've won the last four games we've played, and the Swans are 15th on the table, and I think have lost about the last six games they've played. So I'm actually quietly confident this time.
Well, let's see if you put the Mozza on the team.
Yeah.
I'm quietly confident. That's, I mean, I went to the game, I went to my team's game on Friday night, yeah. Quietly confident of losing.
Right.
And then at halftime,
and you romped it in.
But at halftime, we're ahead. I'm still quietly confident. I couldn't get excited. I couldn't enjoy the fact, you know, three-quarter time. It's three-quarter time. Just for those who don't know Australian rules football, there's four quarters, and I'm at three-quarter time, which means, for those people who don't do metric, there's one quarter left.
That's right.
So three-quarter time, we're like 30 points up. Couldn't enjoy myself.
Yeah.
Then, like, the last 5 minutes, I could actually start to, whew, because, you know, we're the masters of losing with 7 minutes to go and 300 points ahead, you know. Yeah. So it was a good win for our new coach. It was who, as he said, did absolutely nothing different from the coach before him. Made no changes, had exactly the same team in, did exactly the same structure, and this time they
honesty
won.
Honesty in advertising, that's what the world needs.
So, fun. Well, I hope, because my wife's
follows she's a West Coast team,
and my youngest daughter, you know, my wife got her, and I got the eldest daughter for the football teams. Right. So she's West Coast as well, so hopefully they get up for those guys, it'll be good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And how's your week been photographically?
Well, I took some photos with my phone.
Okay. Of?
My hand. Right. I better have a flick through the photos because, I mean,
photos?
I went out gold detecting.
Yeah.
And I had to photograph my find. I went out to find a fortune.
Yeah.
And I'm halfway there, Bruce.
Right.
I found a four.
Right.
It's really weird because last week I found a CD.
Okay.
So it was really just tuned in four instead of four tunes. I've got it backwards.
Right.
So I found an emblem of a Ford gear a couple of weeks ago.
Right, yeah.
Now I've got the number four of like a 4x4 or something.
Right.
So I'm going to have a whole car. I found no gold.
Right.
But you watch this video. This has got, using the same machine as me in same state. I don't know exactly where he goes.
Yeah.
And he does like he's on workers' compensation, so he can't work with a sore back. So he's out every day gold detecting, you know,
right.
But he can't work. He's out every day. And he hasn't come home one day without gold in the last year.
What?
Yeah. He's normally coming home with 8 to 20 pieces.
Wow.
A day. That's me. I'm 10 and zip so far.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
But
so obviously the pieces he's finding are quite small, but are they worth much?
Although they're tiny, they're micros, they're really really small. But yeah, it all adds up. You know, gold's gold. Yeah, it's I mean, we're talking. Yeah, it, you know those March flies, those sort of ones that bite you.
Yes.
Yeah, they're fairly big, aren't they? Like you know, like a 2 centimeters in size.
Yeah.
Imagine if one of them did a poop.
Yeah.
That's the size of the gold.
Right.
Not your normal fly, not your little tiny little you know, bzzz ones, but right. Your decent sized fly.
Okay.
Who's going to be putting out a decent bit of volume?
Yeah.
Him.
Right.
So, but you get 10 of them a day. There's $80, $100.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You do that every day of the week, and whilst the government pays you to do it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Not bad if you do it.
Yes.
Not bad at all. So I took for my clueless prospector Instagram page. I took a few mobile photos of locations of where I was out not finding gold.
Right.
And
so you're not doing a YouTube channel. You're just doing Instagram.
So far, yeah, I haven't got organised.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so just you know, there. So my Instagram started off with I've been rehearsing opening lines.
Okay.
For my video, yeah,
right.
it says, like, hello, you may recognize me from Instagram posts such as, I wonder what that button does, and, oh, no, where are my car keys, that sort of thing, yeah,
yeah.
And so I'm working on a whole range of the introduction, you know, you may recognize me from such videos as, I've just fallen down a hole, or something like that. That's my week, it's been very creative.
Fair enough.
As you can imagine. Yeah. but that's it. And yours, yeah, have you taken any photos?
No, not this week, but I will be on Saturday.
Just on Saturday?
My mate James, who I go for a weekend bike ride with twice a year, his daughter, who's 19, she is pursuing a career as a professional dancer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and is doing...
What kind of dancing we're talking about? Because it helps to know.
I think it's modern contemporary.
Because she's doing like the jitterbug or something. You know, you have to take that into consideration of what photo you have to take.
So yeah, but no, she doesn't need dancing photos. She just wants a good portrait headshot.
That's boring.
So yeah, well, they reached out to me and said, hey, is this something you'd be... you know, capable of doing and willing to do.
Went, I'm not sure. We better ask Glenn after I've done it.
So I said, well, look, come up on a weekend and have lunch and we'll set up backdrops and softboxes and whatever and we'll do some stuff. So that's Saturday. So
she's asking just a white background. I mean, what can it be sussed out what she needs rather than what you think she needs?
I've asked James and, he's basically said, head and
so he hasn't asked a teenager. Ask the teenager, Bruce.
Don't think so, yeah.
Ask the teenager.
Yeah, well, I don't have direct contact. Well, I might be friends with her on Facebook, maybe.
They'll have a lot more demand than what dad thinks. Oh, just come up and get one of those nice 80s model backdrops behind us. She'll love that. I'll see if she can do her hair in a nice perm.
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know, just to preempt possible disasters.
Yeah.
Have some sort of concept about what kind of background. Because, if you need a pure white background, you've got to plan for that.
Yes. Well, I have a white backdrop.
Yeah, but how are you going to make it white?
I would put a second flash behind her shining on the backdrop.
And what do you need if you do that?
Remote trigger.
Nope. Space between your subject and the background.
Which
means you need a lot of space.
Yeah, I have a lot of space.
They have a lot of space?
Yeah.
50 feet? 30 feet?
No, not that big.
What's how much space you're going to need?
I've got about 10 metres, so 30 feet. Yeah, 25 to 30 feet.
Maybe.
So, maybe. Anyway.
Oh, I can't wait to see these. So you said you said a background. What was your concept of what kind of background? I almost said it was going through your mind, your thought process. What kind of backgrounds were you thinking?
Well, I was mainly thinking the white backdrop, that's what she needed, but I'll play it by ear when she gets here, I guess.
Now, if she's got a white wall, just use that.
We've got cream all through the house, but none of the walls are actually devoid.
They're coming to your place, or you're going to theirs?
Yeah, they're coming to my place.
Oh, so, no, you can make cream white easily, though, dude.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, could, so, but like I said, none of our walls are devoid of things hanging on them.
We can take them off.
So yeah, but you're still left with picture hooks and all sorts of crap.
Oh, so it's coming to your place. So I thought you were going to theirs. And so they're trying to think, well, how much space have they got? And you know how much space you've got. It's your house.
Yes, exactly. So it's easier to just set up the backdrop. Because what I do is I move the two cars out of the garage, and I've got double garage, and it's easily 1.5. Like, you could put 4 small cars into the two garages, like they're double end. So I move the vehicles out, and then the backdrop is 3 meters wide by 10 meters long, so I can hang it high. I can get it up, a good 2.5 meters into the air with a nice, shallow curve at the bottom of it. So you know, if you have to do full length stuff, you're not getting a hard line between the vertical and the on the floor stuff. So yeah, but I don't think I'm going to need all of the thing rolled out on the ground if she's just needing head and shoulders stuff. So
remember, if that curve, you're not going to be able to light that curve.
No.
So that's going to be a problem as well. It's going to be, fall off. And
yeah, but like I said, if it's only head and shoulders or waist up, I'll be fine. So
easy. So try. After, seeing your challenges. Once you've done your normal stuff.
Yep.
Try and do some clamshell lighting on her.
Okay.
So how many lights above? Yeah. So and if you don't have another flash, get it to hold a reflector.
Yep.
So sit in the machine, get a hold of the reflector, angle back up, so you've got a V.
Yep, basically. I was planning on doing that.
Yeah, good. I think you'll find that depending on her face, if she's a dancer, she shouldn't have a lot of. She should be reasonably sculpted in the face and the jowls and all that sort of stuff. So that could be a very nice looking light for her. Yeah,
totally. So I've got a 5-in-1 reflector. So gold, silver, white, black, and the scrim in the middle. So would you go white or silver or?
Not knowing her skin tones. I'm not a fan of silver or gold.
Okay.
Yeah. I like my striped silver, gold striped ones much better. Because they're not as warm as gold and not as cold as silver.
Right.
So I would be more prone to go white.
Yep.
Than anything else.
Yep. Well, she's Caucasian. So, I mean, there's no, she's not like overly dark or olive skin. So.
Awesome.
Anyway, should be good.
Oh, that'd be nice. It's a good challenge for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was something good.
Absolutely.
F11 and B there, as they say.
I wasn't going to go quite that stop down, but anyway.
Why not?
Oh, it just seems like overkill.
F11. Go F11. No, no less than F8.
I was gonna go F8 because that'll get the whole head in focus.
I'd go F11, but still.
Okay.
Because if you've got a power out of your
flashes, what's your reason for that?
Err on the side of caution.
Oh, okay.
You've got a white background. It's not just going to be in focus anyway.
Yeah.
So why not have everything in focus properly?
Right.
The thing is, so here's the thing. If you're shooting F8, and you decide to take a step or two closer.
Yep.
All of a sudden your depth changes.
Yes, it shrinks.
To a point where it may start to create issues, depending how close you are. F11 gives you more wiggle room to move forward and backwards.
Yeah.
Maintain everything in focus. Once again, with a completely blown white background, there's no issue as far as that. The only concern is, so this is what I would do. I never shoot studio. I probably rarely shoot studio shots under F11.
Right.
But the advantage of studio, of course, is studio lights have lots of power.
Yep.
Compared to normal flashlights, which don't.
Yep.
So, you kind of at the limit of what that can produce more so than what you'd like to shoot at.
Yep.
So you might have to shoot at 8 or even 5-6.
Actually, you've just reminded me that I have down in the garage a pair of studio lights that I never use.
You did too, didn't you? There you go. You had all the effort to get those.
And I've got a 22-inch beauty dish that goes with those. So I could try that.
There you go.
Yeah.
But now's the challenge.
Yeah.
Now we're excited.
Yes. So I don't have a modifier that I can put on the second one, though. So I could either use a speed light, slaved off the studio head, or I can use the second studio head just naked, Or I can just...
Or you could use the second studio head for your backdrop.
Or I could do that. Yep.
Yeah, so that was that, you don't care if that's bare bubble flash because you're trying to light up a large area of background anyway.
Exactly, yep.
So that works. Then one for the head and the reflector to bounce back up as you're clammy.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Laughing.
So this is what this show should be all about.
That's right.
Talking through photography, exactly. Solving problems, not crapping on about gold like you do all the time, Bruce.
That's right. I really must get off that subject.
People don't come here for that stuff, Bruce. I'm telling you.
They don't.
Not sure what they come here for, frankly. anyway.
That's funny. You know, I've had those things sitting down there in the garage for the, you know, 4 or 5 years since I bought them.
Really?
And, yeah, and I honestly just about forget that they're there because I so rarely, you know, set the garage up to do portraiture. Yeah.
Well, that's why I gave up doing the darkroom donkeys years ago because I never had a specialised room space for it. You'll just set up the laundry. And the effort to set it up just negated any joy in doing the task.
Yeah.
So,
particularly if you've got to set it up just to do one roll of film and then you've got to pack it all away again.
Yeah. Bloody nightmare.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
Need a house with a second laundry, mate.
Yeah. What?
There's a marketing idea.
That's right. What do you have a second laundry for? Just so I convert it to a dark room.
That's
why do you just build a dark room? Oh, there's an idea.
There we go. So anyway, so hopefully I'll have something to share on that front.
Excellent.
Next week. So what have you found to talk about?
No, we're going to get you first, Bruce. We're going to listen to you waffle on for a while.
Oh, okay. Doing my stuff, are we?
No, we're doing your stuff.
Okay, fair enough. All right, the first thing that I found on DIYphotography.net is NASA makes their entire media library publicly accessible and copyright free. How generous of NASA. What?
It's pretty good.
That is great.
But what are you going to do with them? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, finally, if I can learn how to replace skies properly, I can kick some serious ass over these people doing this stupid astro photo. Oh, look at mine. Look away. He's better than your Milky Way. Yeah, well, I've got Andromeda Galaxy taking up the entire sky.
I'm looking at the images in this blog post on DIYphotography.net, and one of them looks like the Eye of Mordor from Lord of the Rings just turned 90 degrees.
but see, Bruce, we're not nerds, so we don't know what that means.
No, of course you don't. Anyway, link will be in the show notes for anyone that wants to check that one out. The next story that I came across, also from DIYphotography.net, was something that I heard about on another podcast on This Week in Twit.
You've been cheating on us.
I'm always
people,
listening.
He's been cheating
I
on us, people.
I listen to other podcasts. I don't listen to other photography podcasts, but I do listen to other podcasts. And this was all about the clothing/adventure company North Face, who thought they were being very clever in the fact that they recognized that when you do an image search on Google, the first image that comes up is almost always a Wikipedia entry.
Yeah.
And so what they did was, in conjunction with their ad agency, Leo Burnett, they conspired to go and take photos in famous locations and then swap the Wikipedia images out with their own images with their product in the image. And because they thought they were so smart, they even made a video about the process. And this has backfired horribly, as it should, because, you know, they had no right to go and change the images on Wikipedia. Like, they had no permission from Wikipedia to go and swap the images out. You know, they claimed that Wikipedia was okay with it, and Wikipedia has released a statement saying we had no knowledge of
it. Say
what? Yeah, and we certainly would not have agreed to it. Yeah, so it's just been a real PR nightmare for both them and Leo Burnett, and a lot of finger pointing going in all directions. So.
Oh, it's pretty clever thinking, though. I mean, it's backfired
thinking,
terribly, but
yeah, yeah. As it says in the title of the blog post, unethical, which I think pretty much sums it up. So anyway, there's an interest. The video is in that blog post that they made to say, you know, this is what we were doing and how we did it and blah, blah, blah. Like I said, they thought they were very clever. The next thing that I saw, I've labelled this an anti-photography story, was a story about the lead singer of Judas Priest, who was videoed from somewhere further back in the audience.
By about 40 people, probably.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kicking out of the hands of somebody at the front of the mosh pit their mobile phone. So clearly not a fan of being videoed from the front of the mosh pit. And, yeah, you can see the phone go flying. So, yeah, I thought it was funny.
Yeah, see, you can't do that these days.
No.
Yeah, there's a little bit too much evidence going around.
Yeah.
And in reality, if you're an aged...
Yeah, rock star.
A band of no relevance... You want all the publicity you can get.
Yeah.
See, you want these people posting stuff on social media and stuff, you know?
Well, they've got a fair amount of publicity out of this story, so, you know, could be the whole argument of there's no such thing as bad publicity. There's just publicity. So who knows? And the last thing that I came up with, and I know we've covered other products like this, is a new product coming out of Italy called Mine S. And this
Mines.
Is... No, it's called Mine S, and it's a modular MIDI controller, and it's originally designed for audio and lighting and video people, but the great thing is that you can use this with programs like Photoshop and Lightroom as well, and it essentially has a frame into which you can put these six modular elements. So there's things like a normal linear fader like you would see on a audio mixing console, two different styles of rotary knobs, a single push button module, another module that has two buttons on it, and then some blank modules that I'm not sure, I think they're just there to give your fingers places to rest so that you're not always leaning on a button accidentally. Yeah, and the great thing about this is that...
It's free.
Well, it's not free, but all of these little modules, these six different module types, they can be hot swapped while it's running.
Really?
And they remember what they were assigned to, even if you take them out and put them back in later on. So, you know, for each different piece of software, you know, a certain controller type can be configured to a... you know, certain function within that piece of software. So very interesting concept. It hooks up to your computer either via MIDI or via USB. And the video that's in the blog post sort of pretty much demonstrates the whole concept quite nicely. So yeah, really intriguing times that we live in, and I'd, you know, love to try one out. I don't know whether I'd be able to run it on Linux, but I would imagine that there would definitely be drivers for Mac and Windows. Yeah, and a very funky looking piece of gear. So yeah. Adam sent us a few stories.
You forgot an article there, Bruce.
Yeah, I left that out.
Put it back in.
Oh really?
It was short and stuff, Bruce.
We're not really.
Oh, come on.
Okay. So
we're going to run this. This is fabulous. You just don't know who this could appeal to.
The Arab Photography Archive?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they are now letting you access 22,000 digitized historic photos. And the reason I skipped this was because I only found this a few minutes before we started recording, and I clicked on the link that's sort of at the bottom of the first paragraph of text that says online gallery. And I went to the online gallery and it was really painful to navigate. And I just thought, couldn't be bothered. And I didn't realize I'd already put the link into my little rundown here. I was just going to completely skip it. But you like it? Why do you like it?
I don't like it. I didn't even look at it.
Why did you want me? Why do you want me to cover the story then?
Took up some time, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
There you go.
So Adam,
all filler, no killer, Bruce. That's right. What we are, my friend.
That's right. Adam sent us a story about the LIT, as in L-I-T, Zenon smartphone flash, which I think we mentioned this a month or two back. It was a Kickstarter campaign, and it got cancelled even though they were 50% funded above their goal. So, yeah, so they.
I know why, though.
Yeah.
It's the idiots.
Well, that's one point of view.
No, it's the point of view, Bruce.
Okay. Glenn has spoken. Nothing else needs to be said.
Let's put it this way. Okay. What was the initial Kickstarter amount they wanted to get?
$40,000.
And they've got 50% more than that.
$65,000 they got.
What can you build brand new from scratch in manufacturing, getting molds, getting circuit boards for $60,000?
I have no idea. I've never priced
it. Nothing.
Right.
Nothing. You can't get anything. It was a completely, stupidly, mind-numbingly dumb amount of money to ask for in the first place, because you couldn't build anything for $40,000.
Right.
Especially the volume. If they get this many people signing up,
yeah,
they've got to get production, testing, sampling. It goes on and on. The cost to make stuff is not cheap. Yeah.
The thing I find interesting is that the little pull quote that's in the middle of the blog post says, after doing some additional calculations during the campaign, we realized...
I think you can take the word additional out, Bruce.
Well, I stress that deliberately, so let me finish. After doing some additional calculations during the campaign, we realized we won't be able to make it a reality with just our initially set funding goal and newly uncovered product ambitions. So that makes me think...
The product ambitions was working.
What do you mean?
A working model.
Right.
They wanted something that actually functioned.
Right.
That was going to cost more to have something that actually worked than something that didn't work.
Yes.
I reckon for $65,000, they could probably just about getting a non-working model working.
Right.
But if they actually wanted one that worked,
right,
probably going to cost them. How much do you think it costs to build an app?
I have no idea.
$5,000 to $10,000 minimum?
Probably, yeah.
Minimum. Okay, because I mean they need to build this app to make this thing work with the Flash.
Yeah.
So there's one quarter of their initial request.
Yeah.
Just to build the app.
Yeah.
And that's no guarantee after spending your 10 grand that it's actually going to work.
Yeah.
And it's not requiring ongoing product support and updates and bug fixing. I mean, that's their budget alone just about.
Yeah.
Would be gone just building the app.
And that leaves you nothing for advertising and marketing at the end of it.
It leaves you nothing to build the thing, Bruce.
Yeah.
It doesn't even give you enough money to buy the cardboard.
I see. You're saying that would just cover R&D but not actual production.
That would just cover R&D of the app. Not even the machine.
What, the other 30 grand?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Were saying 10 grand to do the app.
As a minimum, as an absolute minimum.
Okay.
And then on top of that, you've got ongoing updates, product development. I mean, unless they've got a subscription model where people are continually paying every time they use the Flash, it costs them a dollar. Every Flash costs. There's any way they can keep the damn thing going.
Yeah.
It's just a completely – and this is the problem with Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Is people have this they come from non-manufacturing backgrounds. And I'm not saying I'm a manufacturing expert, but I've seen this enough times on Kickstarter where people have no concept of what it takes to actually get a product to market, the cost to get a product to market.
Yeah, right.
There's a great article by the owner of a three-legged thing when he made an L bracket.
Right.
You might remember years ago, a year or so ago. And he went through what it cost just to make a metal L bracket.
Yeah.
And $100,000 of investment to make this little bit of bloody metal.
Jeez.
Yeah. And that's not a functioning, brand new, app enabled bloody Flash. Yeah. Just to make a piece of metal, which is, you make the mold, you pour the metal. It's
about
all there is to it. Put the cardboard box around it, ship it.
Yeah, right.
And we were talking about trying to bespoke manufacture.
Yeah.
Something that's never been done before.
Yep.
In incredibly low quantities, because let's face it, that's what you want. Let's just make six of them. That'll keep the cost down.
Not.
I love Kickstarter stuff. I love I love exploring that. But I see this all the time. It's unrealistic. So the only ones I've ever backed are ones where I've been fairly confident the cost to manufacture was going to be viable.
Covered by what they've asked for.
Exactly. The amount they're asking for. So just to make, like that Yashica Y35 camera that came out last year, just to make the mold to press the camera, I don't know, that probably cost $50,000 or $100,000.
Yeah.
Just for the mold.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're not making huge crazy. So it's disappointing because I would have liked to have used a flash with my and as I say, it's they're not completely cancelling. They're just going to go and see.
No, they do go on to say, based on the current funding rate, we might be able to push the product development and production through, but it would take considerably more funds to make it in a way that would meet our high standards. So
working.
Yes. So who knows? They may come back
and say, we just need $250,000.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, watch this space. The next one that Adam sent us was on Petapixel. This is what a sunset looks like from space. And it's a beautiful shot from Alexander Gerst, who's one of the astronauts on the ISS. And it shows, the curvature of the Earth and, half of the Earth in sunlight, and the right-hand side you can see is falling into night, and across the transition is this lovely bank of beautiful pink cloud, but seen from above, which is not the view we normally get of it. So, nice one.
Yeah. I like that too. That was in my list of...
Oh, was it? Cool.
Yeah.
I haven't got down to your list yet. The next one from Adam was also on Petapixel, and he's stolen another one of Glyn's. The Nick Collection 2 has arrived.
Yes.
With 42...
There's a difference between me and him, is I've downloaded and started using it.
Oh, okay. Fantastic.
So I've had to do some research.
Fantastic. Well, let me just quickly recap for those who don't recall. Nick Collection was bought in 2012 by Google, and they made it free in 2016, but then a year later announced that they were going to shutter the whole thing. DxO then stepped in and said, well, if you're going to let it go to mothballs, we'll buy it off you. They bought it from Google, said that they would continue development of the Nick Collection. They made it a paid product, and they have now released version 2 with a whole bunch of new presets and all sorts of funky new features. And what they are also doing is, up until the end of June of 2019, they're dropping the price from $150 down to $100, presumably that is US dollars. And they are bundling it, for those that are looking for a new RAW development application, with DxO PhotoLab 2.3 Essential, which normally costs $129 on its own. So you're basically getting the Nick Collection for nothing. So, yeah. Mr. Lavender.
And they've got some specials on it. It's like if you're upgrading from having Nick software in the past,
yes,
you can upgrade for like $60.
Yeah, there is a reduced price.
Yeah, $60 and like $80 or something for new ones up until June 30.
So what are your thoughts on it?
Well, first up, I've only had a half hour play.
Okay.
Yeah, so I downloaded it about 8 o'clock tonight. We record at 9 o'clock. So nightmare to download is typical of anything these days. I want to download the Nick software. So I download that. Oh, you also have to download the DxO one. Okay, I'll download the DxO one. Download those. Go to open up the DxO one. Oh, you need an update. I just followed your bloody link to download it. Download it, and now it needs an update. It's like, for God's sake, people. That's just nothing drives me crazier than that.
Yeah.
It's like when you buy a new game for your Xbox or something.
Yes.
You get home, you put it on. It takes forever to load up.
Yeah.
You've got to download all 4 gigabytes of data.
Yep.
Gets there, you've got to turn it on, needs an update.
Another
3 gigabytes. That's been downloaded off the internet. It's like, my God. So now I got it going. I haven't really looked at the DxO. I tried the DxO software a few years ago.
PhotoLab?
They're one of their early versions. I remember kind of liking parts of it, but it seemed clunky, and I had never spent the time to learn how to use it properly.
Right.
Okay. And I feel that might be the same again.
Right.
But I've opened up Color Effects 2,
yep,
which I imagine should have been 3 by now, because surely this is a new version that could have just made it 3. I've tried Color Effects, Analog Effects, and Silver Effects. I've used those three quickly tonight. And as I said, there's something like 60 new presets or something they've got on there.
Right.
Which I have. There's a couple of new. There's a couple of new Silver FX ones that I really like.
Okay.
Already, which some of the new effects look really, really kind of cool.
I must admit, back in the Windows days when I did try it out, Silver FX was probably my favourite part of the whole collection.
It still is the premium black and white.
Yeah.
Editing software in the world by leaps and bounds. Yeah, it is awesome. But I've been using in the last time I really used Nick with any real regularity was when I was using it on my Microsoft Surface whilst traveling.
Oh, yeah.
And the problem is on the Windows 10 with a high-res 2.5K screen or whatever it is, mm-hmm. all the icons were absolutely microscopic.
Yeah.
You could hardly see the damn things,
yeah.
you know. Now, there was a fix somewhere, but I could never figure out how to get the fix working, you know. This new version, because it's all been updated, it updates for higher resolution, and all the icons are back to decent size again now.
Right.
So I'm bottom to about icons. Up to also like even just like sliders, you open up a thing, you're trying to do a little slider. The slider is so damn small, you can hardly move it.
Yeah, right.
You touch it without touching throughout the sliders. so all that stuff's vastly improved.
Oh, nice. Which is
a big plus. So I'll do a bit more exploring. I haven't done any raw files with it yet or anything like that. But it's looking pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And the last one that Adam sent us was the. Post about less than 1% of people can ace this color test. And so basically it is, as the name would suggest, a test for how well you can determine hues and shades of colors. And there's a whole bunch of, I think it's about 10 questions. And it can't have been 10 because I ended up with 89%. So it mustn't have been. It couldn't have been 10 questions because.
And what's the percentage of people who passed this test?
The test found that about 50% of the general population gets about 5 or 6 correct answers, while only 0.2% gets all 10 correct. So if there's 10, I don't know how I could have got 89%. That doesn't make sense.
You could have been close on a couple of them. See, I'm never going to go and do one of these things that says only 1% of the people in the world get this right. Well, no, I'm not going to be that person.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't want to fail yet again. I have enough failure in my life and failing yet another thing. So I saw that online. I just went straight past it, Bruce. I didn't even click it. Only 1% of people. Well, that's not me.
Fair enough.
And if it is me, it'll set unrealistic expectations for the rest of my life. I've achieved something. Well, it's all downhill from here. So I didn't even bother looking at that one.
Fair enough.
And I would have thought Adam, quite frankly, shouldn't have either.
I don't understand why a guy who only publishes black and white images would bother with a colour test.
Good point. You know what it probably is? It's probably checking the different amber hues of his beers.
That's what it is.
You know? Yes, that's the golden deep slumber amber, that one there. It's fabulous. Yeah, love it, love it.
All right, Mr. Lavender, what do you got on your list?
Oh, nothing, because he's used them all. Have I got something? No, I did see. Here's the thing. It's not a very flattering name. Fat Map. F-A-T Map. Fat Map.
Okay, what's
FatMap? But I thought this is a pretty interesting thing for us gold. I mean, so for us photographers.
Yeah.
It's a map that you can say, I'm going to this location here.
Yeah.
And I want to go walking for 2 hours.
Right.
Or whatever. It'll show you how far you will actually be able to travel, taking into account the terrain, the height, all this kind of stuff. So you might it'll give you a good indication of what your plan is. Oh, I want to go from here to here, and I've got 4 hours to do it, and it's going to be bomb. Or you can do that, no problem at all. So it's kind of a cool little setup, I thought.
Yeah, right.
So you can literally type in anywhere you want to go, because it uses Google Earth, so anywhere in the world.
Yep.
Seeing what sort of time frame. So you want to go for a city walk or a country hike or whatever, a drive in the country, who knows, whatever it is. You type it in there, it'll show you the pathway of where you can go and how long each bit's going to take.
Yeah.
And give you some idea about the type of terrain that's there as well.
Right.
That's pretty handy.
Nice.
I thought it was pretty handy.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if you're traveling and you're planning on doing some walks, it'll give you an idea how long it's actually going to take versus in completely unknown locations.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah.
I'm going to have to investigate that one.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool looking. I mean, I spent seconds looking at it before, so I'm fully versed in it already.
Yeah.
But and you know, I'm not one for walking very much anyway because it's exercise and stuff. So yeah. Anyway, but Fat Map is one.
Yep.
And oh, I did see this. I did see this other one last little thing though.
Yeah.
That worries me that this may become needed for even tourists.
Right.
But if you want to apply for a visa in the US these days, that might be a working visa, it might be a student visa, whatever it may be, you have to supply all the names of your social media accounts.
That is so bizarre. And
so
why?
They can track, well, to track what kind of things you've been doing on social media. If you've all your posts of you snorting cocaine.
Right.
Or making bombs.
Yeah.
Thinking maybe there may be going, hang on a sec. Maybe you're not quite the sort of person we want.
Yeah,
but
right.
Yeah, so imagine if they start saying, well, you know, every tourist that comes to America is going to provide their social media accounts.
Yeah.
And they get scanned to see if there's any objectionable material.
Yeah, right. I did hear about this, but I didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to the story, but seems a bit overreaching in my opinion.
Well, it's America.
Yeah. Goes without saying.
what are you talking about, Everest?
Yes.
So that's it. I got bugger all else, dude.
Right. Oh, well, another short
so that's
one.
What, see, now you know why I want you to put in the Arab article, didn't you?
There we go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, I've got to do a little call out to Mr. George Georgiadis.
Oh, yes.
Who's coming to Africa with me in a couple of weeks' time?
Right.
I've got to get my clothing sizes to him. It's coming, dude. I've just got to get organised.
Why do you have to get your sizes to him?
Oh, he's getting something organised for me.
Oh, okay.
So
right.
I think I have to make sure you know what coffin size. I'm not sure what it is.
Is it your muumuu? Are you getting a muumuu?
Getting a muumuu. The Miss Russo style. No, I can't, I would, but I can't grow the beard.
Oh,
that's it.
Dear.
We're done.
Okay.
Here's another week.
Actually, a couple of other things I can throw in just to pad it out. You wanted to pad it out?
Oh, pad it now. We've done that.
Oh, no. We've got to pad further, mate.
Calling.
So the other shoot that I was talking about that I was going to organise with Tegan,
yeah,
we're going to have to sit on that for 6 months because it's just got too cold for us to be tramping around in water and mud, which was what that shoot involved. So, yeah.
It's not you. You're not the one going to be in the water, are you?
Well, probably would have been.
Yeah, but you could wear gumboots or something, couldn't you?
Probably not because I want to be shooting close to the waterline.
Yeah, and gumboots don't allow that, hey?
Gumboots.
Oh, I can't bend over. I've got gumboots on. But get yourself a cheap pair of waders. They got dodgy chest.
That's right. So, but Tegan said she's in for the shoot. So, but we'll probably sit on that idea until October or November.
Rolling around in mud.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear what this shoot is.
And the other thing is, you know how I'm working at the ABC in Newcastle at the moment?
No. Do you work for the ABC?
Try and keep up, mate. They've asked me to do portraits of the on-air staff.
Oh, pardon?
Never mind.
The senior work? Oh, so what you doing this? That's what you're doing this weekend, one for the practice.
No.
No. Well, that's pretty cool, dude.
Yeah. So that'll be a few weeks away.
So, what's your concept for that? Do they have a theme? What do they want?
They want to basically stick with the style of what they've already got.
Oh.
Which doesn't blow me away, but it's what they want to do, so I'm okay with that.
What's the style they've already got?
The style that they've already got is the various presenters behind the mic in the on-air studio, you know, as if they were, you know, in mid-sentence presenting their on air shift. Yeah, exactly. So.
And what are they going to do with these images?
They print them and they hang them in the foyer of the foyer area of the radio station. So when
and how much are they paying you for them?
Yeah.
So what you're saying is they're taking advantage of you.
Yes.
They're taking work away from a working photographer.
Yes.
There's got to be several labour laws being broken, right? Oh, just ABC. They call themselves lefties, I tell you. They left the money in their own account, didn't they?
So anyway, I'll let you know how that goes when that happens.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
It'd be a good challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, some things to think about, because they want the on-air console to feature in the shot. So that, you know, creates its own challenges in terms of composition, angles.
How wide a lens do you have? You've got your 14 mil,
haven't
you?
I've got my 15.
15 mil?
Yeah, probably don't need that. I reckon the 28 would be enough. Hey?
Go wide, go close.
But you see, you don't want to be shooting from behind the presenters. Like, you want them facing the camera. You don't want their back.
If they're facing the microphone, if you're sort of laying on the panel,
yep,
looking at them, you're like part of the panel,
right?
Yeah. Right? So you're down low. Yep. They're talking down at the microphone. They're above you in the frame.
Yep.
You're just kind of down low and dirty. That'd be
looking up their nose.
Pretty much. Right. I reckon. Do you have access to one of these panels?
Yeah.
Pre-shoot.
Yeah.
Take your 15 mil,
yep.
Get down low and have a look. Just a play.
Yeah.
I reckon it'd be cool.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I think it might be too wide, but anyway.
That's such a thing, Bruce. And as long as it's not going round, it's
yeah.
In my world, yeah. Such a thing as too wide.
Mate, will you have a good week?
I will. And to all our listeners, we bid you...
farewell.
Adieu.
Shutters Inc. Another audio2.com quality podcast. For questions, comments and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.